Hey, everybody. That is Gary Smith.
Hello there.
That is Kaz Kenny.
Kapow!
And I am Eddie Bramble, and this is episode 46 of the Blackwater's Edge podcast.
Hey, do you 46. Know how old I am? I told you 56. Last week, 46. So this must be a lucky episode. That's what I'm thinking.
We'll go with that. Okay. Oh, lucky. Start us off with this fish report.
There ain't no fish left down here. Done caught them all, bro. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so fishing's been, stock market's still up, down, up, down, up, down. It's a matter of being in the right place at the right time. If you're there at the right place at the right time, you can have yourself a nice cooler full of fish and a full belly for a week or two. So put the time in. That's the best thing I can tell you. I always say it, you don't know if you don't go. So get your ass outside and check it out. Let's talk about fishing. So locally here, snakeheads. We always know it's snakeheads. No. We're starting to see some crappie. So we're seeing a few crappie, some really, really big, big crappie.
Saw some crappie today, didn't you?
Yeah, I did see some crappie today. actually, I don't think we caught any crappie today. We didn't. We only got bluegills, but they were some big bluegills. You know what I mean? We'll talk about that and get on that. That was some fun, I'll tell you. I can't wait to see the videos we laid down on that. But so over at Blackwater, you know, 335. I've talked to a couple of people, top and bottom rigs. You know, it's catfish, few white perch. I think everybody right now is waiting to see what's going to happen with white perch here. You know what I mean? So this will be this third year we're going to go into it, and we're going to see if we get a comeback or if we're still, what's the word, SOL? I just joked.
I don't think there's going to be much change from last year. That's just my opinion.
Well, we'll see. I talked to Justin. They've got the nets back out. I've talked to some people about yellow perch that have been fishing, looking around locally for them. One here, one there, you know, we're seeing a couple, we just ain't seeing those numbers. I'm keeping in touch with my friends up to the north where the runs happen. Still, even at Y Mills, they're not seeing much in the way, which is still early for that. But usually by now, you're seeing some showing up, some mail, some things like that. So, you know, I'm hoping we see some stuff start to come back in some of the places that we've been questioning the last couple of years anyway. Over in the Marshy Hope, it's yellow perch. There's a few white perch around. It's chain pickerel. It's bass, snakeheads. Few gar are being caught here and there for the guys that know where to look for them right now. And some of them are big as shit, you know. So you can have some fun with some gar.
Is that there. A technical term?
That is not a technical term. That's called the truth. So, but no, so that's over in the Marshy Hope. You know, the Nanticoke, it's the big blue cats. It's a Dover Bridge up there. It's big blue cats. You know, you guys want to catch a 40, 50-pound blue cat, now is the time. If you haven't talked to David Confair, a.k.a. Cornflower, over there at the bigbluecatlife.com page, he'll be happy to help you and get you pointed in the right direction. I know he's been helping a lot of people out here lately.
They must be 10 pounds when they're born.
Because, yeah. he's just tearing them up 30, 40 pounds, just like nothing.
That's my thing. Like, how come we don't ever see them, like... You know, like when I'm out of Key Wallace fishing, I see probably right, channel ones, cats.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing it is with snakeheads. It's a different territory. I don't think the little ones are where the big ones are because they'd be eaten.
Right, that's true.
Below us down Mardella, Barron Creek has been pretty hot for those that have been knowing the right time to go there and hit it. A few crappie, a few yellow perch, lots of snakeheads. I mean, a ton of snakeheads down there this year and last year. I mean, it's just blown away down there. I know our good friend Scott Sewell over at the Maryland Bass Nation, that's one of his favorite places to fish on his Only on Wednesday tournament. So, Scott, do me a favor. You know, when you guys start winding up down there and get going, let us know what you're seeing this year compared to what you saw last year and the year before. I know we've been talking about a little bit of decline, but I'm really thinking snakehead numbers this year down there are going to be pretty insane. So, look down there around Mardella. There's a lot of stuff down there. You know, you guys look around up in Easton. I mean, there's some stuff up there around Easton, you know. Get out towards St. Michael's. I mean, there's lots of ditches that people just – here's my thing, you know. Remember I bought that getoffthebridges.com, Eddie, a couple years ago, you know. Only because we know in the beginning of all this, you know, the bridges was where everybody was going. That was the most – you know, easiest place for everybody to go, let's say. Not saying these other places I'm talking about aren't easy, because there's plenty of places that are not centered right here in Blackwater that if you get on a map and you look at bodies of water, It's real easy to pinpoint where you might find some fish.
And we're not talking about septic ponds.
Yeah, for the cows, the cow shit ponds. That's right. Yeah. Please don't put your kayak and cow shit ponds down here anymore. Good Lord, this is getting old. Every other week, one of y'all doing that. But up in Easton, the bypass out that way, there's a lot of them creeks there that got fingers that come off, little creeks coming off that body of water there, And I'm not trying to blow spots off the map. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say, if you want to learn snakeheads and you want to learn how to find these things, it's not hard to do. And if you think that somebody on Facebook is going to give you the answer when you want it, I will, but 9 times out of 10, they're not going to give it to you, And I understand that. That's okay. That's up to them. I'm not protecting a snakehead hole. I'm going to help you find them. Lots of places are getting good. The Chester.
It's just like that picture of Sheridan Snakehead Life the other day. He said man was shot for trying to follow to the fishing spot.
And that was a real story. That was real. I went back and read the whole thing, man. I'm like, God, man, can you imagine that? Hey, homeboy, I told you not bring anybody here. Bam!
That's crazy.
But no,
man gives you his word,
That's right. That's true.
He kept his word, right? You better not tell a soul or you're going to get it, right? But no, the snakehead fishing, bottom line, is they're all over the state, really. And they're just all over. I don't get why, where, or what. So they're easy to find. And the habitat that you're looking for, if you come down here to Blackwater, that's that habitat that you're looking for. So if you're on the sassafras, trust me, there's an area of water that very closely resembles what we have here, just maybe not on a 50,000 acre scale. Maybe it's only on a 2 acre scale. You know what I'm saying? I look at the places up in Harford County that I find these fish in these pockets in places. I'm like, my God, you would never think that they're a mile away in this little ass stream, but they are. And the problem is people go look, some people will be quick to say, I'm not going down the shore. It's too crowded. You know what I mean? Well, if it's too crowded, then you're not looking far enough. You know what I mean? I can look at everybody here at the table and tell you right now, I haven't fished these bridges like I did 3-4 years ago, in probably 3 or 4 years. You know what I mean? Serious. I'm not out there at the Corsi Bridge chucking minnows and spinner baits and 15 rods set up anymore.
Well, why not? What happened to you?
Well, I figure how to take a.
He broke six of them.
No, I just figured out that, if I could find these ditches somewhere on the side of a road, it's legal for me to walk, man. This is my thing. I got this army backpack from a friend of mine. I don't know. It's a duffel bag, I guess. It's real big. It's like this tall. It's got just one strap on it. It's got a thing you pull tight at the top to close it up, right? So I can throw my backpack in that thing. I can carry my 2 rods. I can throw me a 5-gallon bucket with a lid in there for my minnows so it's not dripping everywhere as I'm walking down the road, right? I can put that army backpack with my 5-gallon bucket with my minnows and my tackle on my back with a couple heavy-duty black trash bags. Got to do that or your bag's going to smell like shit, seriously. So, as you're walking down, boom, you catch one, you throw it in your bag, and you keep walking. Walk for a mile. Get on the other side and walk back a mile. Mm-hmm. If you do it right, I guarantee you ain't even going to make it the first quarter mile. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. They're everywhere. Start looking everywhere. It's back to the report up the river, Susquehanna. Roy's saying things are picking up there. Guys in Susquehanna or in Gunpowder are saying perch are starting to show up there. Again, I'm just keeping in touch with these guys. I won't talk about numbers. I talked to another friend of mine, Chris, this week. He said the perch bite over on the western shore is really picking up over there, yellow perch and stuff like that.
That's good to hear.
So, go ahead and look around, check some stuff out, in the Glen Burnie area. The Severn River's been pretty hot. I'm not going to tag the spots because everybody that fishes it knows where they're at. So go over and enjoy yourself. As far as what's been working here, bait, snakehead destroyers, grass shrimp. That's pretty much what it's been. But I do have to say this. Gary, today we were over at our sweet spot just playing around, and he had, I think it was a number 5, a big sucker.
It was just like this. It was yellow.
So he was throwing that, and it was yellow, and I was very shocked to see him come with that spinner, and it was, he was burning. He wasn't slow rowing nothing. It was like, and that thing ran that MEPS down and hit it right on the surface, and I'm telling you what, that bass was a big bass. And this was in freezing cold water in a pond, so this wasn't out in the refuge,
But today, it's like with anything that you do. If you want to get better at it, watch what's going on. If you are fishing and there's another person fishing 6 feet from you and they're catching fish and you're not, look at what's different. Are they in the shade? Is the water deeper there? There's a reason why. And when we started this afternoon, the sun was just to the point that it had gotten off the rocks in my pond on the north side and was shining over on the, I guess, really the east and west side. So it was shining over on the other side of the pond. And as soon as that happened, those fish switched to the other side of the pond.
They did. And we'll talk about that with Brandon when we get into it. But we were sitting there, we were fishing. It was funny because, you know, I had just hooked a fish. And I watched as the sun was moving across the pond. I watched it hit this area under these trees that was shaded not even 5 minutes before that. And literally in 5 minutes, it was clear on the surface to five or six of them pulling up there laying that sun. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
it's in the summertime, you look for shade. Because that's where they're going to be. And in the wintertime, you look for something that's heated up because they want to be around that warm water.
And we even showed Brandon today, you know, like me and Brandon were over there fishing. And I saw them fish break on the other side. And I said, Brandon, I'm going to walk over here and look. There's something going on over there. As soon as we moved to that other side, boom, there they were. Brandon, come on over here. Boom, he got another big one. You know what I mean? So it was really, really a good time. So that's about what I got on the fishing report today. We got a really, really great show today. I hope that we got plenty of questions coming in for us, but I'm sure that we'll answer them because I ask enough questions and you guys ask enough questions that we might ask more questions than we have time to ask for their questions.
That's usually how it goes.
Right. So, but we're going to do our best to get everybody's questions in here and talk about it. But that's it for me.
Did you get all that? I didn't get all that.
Did you want me to say it in English or slow down or what?
I stopped listening when he said he put his backpack in his backpack. Questions. So, but this week we've got Brandon Manson here on the show. How you doing, Brandon?
Good.
Baltimore Angler, man.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you coming on. So for those who don't know you, why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself?
Oh, so moved here to Maryland. 2012 as a Maryland State Trooper. 2016, I left the department and I got into UPS. 2017, I had heard that there were snakeheads in Maryland. I said, what? Snakeheads in Maryland? Aren't those the fish that are like real dangerous ones that, you know, and so I started to get curious. People were talking about how much fun they are to catch. So my buddy Brent, he finally took me out there, showed me what to do with some minnows, and we were out there fishing all day. He caught a snakehead. I just couldn't remember how powerful it was, just even as small as it was, the power. Then I caught my snakehead, and, you know, after that, I was ready to do, like, 50 push-ups going for a couple of miles. I was like, oh, man, this is fun, man. And so that was the only one in 2018. 2019, I caught my first one on a lure. And that was, that was exciting because it surprised me, made me jump because just how powerful they are when they strike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, man, that was the first time I tried snakeheads. And that was the last time I ate catfish.
You know what? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. That's probably the best I've ever heard.
And I'm not trying to knock catfish, but oh my gosh, snakehead's so good. So I went ahead and I started my YouTube channel just because life was kind of rough at the time. You know, I'd gone through divorce between jobs, and it kind of turn around into from a tragedy to triumph. And, you know, I wanted to,
I really like that, tragedy to triumph. How about that, man?
That's a good way of putting it.
You know, and I wanted to try to turn it a profit into something I love doing. Next thing I know, here I am on a podcast that I normally listen to. It's like, whoa, this is really happening right now. So yeah, Baltimore Angler was born, and been having fun ever since, man, you know.
That's
now,
the way to do it.
Now, I know, and everybody that knows that follows you, and I'm guilty, I follow you, I'll tell you right now. So there's a lot of guys I follow that would probably be really surprised to know that I follow their stuff anyway. But the bottom line is this, you do a lot of other stuff besides snakehead.
Yes.
And originally, when I was first attracted to the YouTube and the things you were doing, I didn't see snakehead. I saw catfish. I saw blue cats. I saw DC in the background. I saw this guy out there hustling catfish on YouTube, and he was doing a good job because it was selling to me. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to brag, but I'm a pretty damn good salesman. So if you can sell to me, you're doing something good. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I started watching that, and then I started to see you get into the snakehead stuff and doing these other things. So I guess my question is, how did this whole fishing thing start for Brandon? I mean, was this something you started as a kid? What was the first fish you got? Let's talk about how you got to catfish, how you got to YouTube, how you got to that point. What made Brandon say, you know what, man, I love fishing. I've done this, 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 this. Look at my past. Look at what I've been through. You know?
All right. So my dad, actually, the very first catfish I ever saw caught was my dad. Was with my dad. It was in Ohio. I was about 8 years old. I never saw a catfish, you know, and it was just so cool. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. So fast forward, you know, my parents were divorced, so I would spend time between them. We went fishing in that summer, and he caught two channel cats back to back. I fell in love. I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So I would, at the time, I'd only really fish with him. So I would just fish whenever I'd go visit him. And then got to high school, coming around high school time, I was sitting at home one day, and I was watching a show called River Monsters. And I said, whoa. And just seeing them fight the fish, I'm like, whoa, I got to get back into that. So that was when I purchased my first setup, you know, decided to go fishing on my own. I had no idea what I was doing because I bought a bait casting rod. I put a spinning reel on it so the trigger's
upside down. I did too, brother. I did too.
I feel like that's a really common first rod story.
And I'm like, yeah, and I was like, this don't look right. But and then I'm sitting here confused. Do I turn the reel upside down and spin it like that? It go backwards? I started watching other people. Okay, you turn it that way. Okay. So,
can you imagine him on YouTube doing some YouTube and upside down where how much shit he'd be right about now?
So, when I became a state trooper, I think I fell in love with the job more than fishing because I hadn't fished for a while. And so, when it came time, I left the department. I was just waiting to start back at UPS. And every day, I'm just fishing, catching channel cats. I'm fishing North Point State Park. And just sitting there just catching them. This is awesome, cooking them up and everything like that. Well, after a while, I'm like, man, what is a big catfish? I want to catch some bigger catfish. So at that point, I'm at UPS, and we start talking, and a guy says, you know what, you want to catch a state record, you need to start fishing the Potomac. That's all he had to say. I said, all right. So I start doing a little research, and then I start watching YouTube, and there's a guy named That Hook Set. I started watching him. And he just catching big blue catfish. I was like, wow, that's awesome. So talked to him. He invited me out fishing. And the very first big blue catfish I caught was 27 pounds. And when he took the picture, I just kept looking at it all day. Like, oh, my goodness, that's awesome. And
now, who was this guy again?
His name is Daniel Custer. His YouTube name is That Hook Set. But he hasn't put a video out in over a year.
That's okay. The point I want to make is this. You reached out to somebody and they helped you.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? And that's the thing that I see you, and that's what I've seen you do with your YouTube, is help people. So I just want to throw that out there for everybody who has not seen any stuff that he's doing. You know, I watch a lot of stuff. This guy's not cocky. He's not arrogant. You don't see him on there cussing. I mean, he's pretty, you know, if there was a family-oriented YouTube angler out there that, you know, I was going to tell somebody to watch, you know, it would definitely be Brandon. And that's not me just trying to blow you up or get your name, because you've already got that. That's just me and you talking real talk. You know what I mean?
I have two purposes of my YouTube. One, any information I learn or obtain myself, it's important to pass that on, because you can see in this time of social media, a lot of misinformation gets passed around, a lot of false information gets passed around, and people start making their own assumptions and believing it, and then, you know.
Oh, we know that.
Two, I love the fact I can catch just as good a fish as anyone on very affordable gear. I am not a guy that's going to drop a lot of money.
You
on
sound
gear.
Like Cornfire.
I was going to say that's it. Hit the Cornfire to get together my $9.99 special and have a little fish off. You know what I'm saying?
My current shark setup that I use for sharking costs about the same as one St. Croix Mojo rod. The reel, the rod, the line, everything. You know, I'm not one of these guys. Oh, that's a $400 rod. Nah.
I used to be like that. I mean,
you sound the same when they break.
Huh?
That's a good one. I like that, Gary. Yeah, Gary's like the elder. When you close your tailgate, one liners, you know.
Snap in half, but it sounds the same as a $400 one if it's $10.
Yep.
Makes the same noise.
Yep.
So you're doing the catfish, and this guy helps you out. He passes it on to you, which is something that we've always talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, so the catfish ate you up. What else did you get into, man? Or did you just go from snakehead, or did you go from catfish? I know you fish down D.C., and I do too. So I've had the opportunity to be there when the stripers are just as big as they come through there as they are on the Susquehanna Flats, you know what I mean, or at Lapidum. So I've been down there and I've caught crappie that are just as big as anywhere that I've caught crappie here, if you know where to go, you know. So, you know, what other things, I guess, is it just pretty much catfish?
Well, it was started out as catfish. 2018, I launched my channel, and my only goal for that time to establish myself was, hey, my name is Brandon, this is what I could do. 2019, I said, you know what? I've been chasing catfish all my life. It's time to start changing it up, try different species, try different things. And that's what 2019, I wanted to target a whole bunch of different things. And snakeheads was at the top of my list because I heard the stories. Before I caught my first snakehead, you know, I saw the infamous documentary on National Geographic about him. So I immediately was like, oh, my gosh, I wonder if the waters are red down there. I wonder if one's going to crawl out the water and bite my toe or something like that. So my buddy Brent, he says, hey, man, I heard you were wanting to catch some snakeheads. I've caught them before. Okay. So he takes me along and takes me out, goes after snakeheads. And
did you come Eastern Shore or did you go Western Shore?
Eastern Shore. Okay. And that was my first time.
April, I was just thinking, being that you're fishing the Potomac, maybe somebody was going to show you there, that's all.
Yeah. And now 2019, that was my second snakehead. That was my first Western Shore snakehead. And that was interesting because no one taught me anything. I went on YouTube. I learned how to use a topwater frog. I watched a lot of videos. I learned the walking the dog technique. I was out there for about an hour and a half and just sitting there just working and working and working it. I'm like, dang, oh, man, I can't get a snakehead to bite. So I moved, cast a few times. Next, and again, when they strike that lure, if it's quiet, you're by yourself, it'll seriously make you jump because I kind of jumped. That's true. And that fight was on. And
That's sucking. It's like, like somebody just stuck a bucket underwater and the water just went in five gallons.
It's the most unmistakable sound. You hear fish breach, but when you hear a snakehead breach water, it's just that popping sound. It is a very unmistakable sound.
You know, most fish that you fish for, you're late on the strike. Mm-hmm. With a snakehead, you've got to not react. That is harder to do.
I'm going to tell you, that's probably one thing I learned. I can't tell you how many times I've had snakeheads strike my lure when I'm looking to do something else, or I just stop working a lure, pull my phone out. I feel that hit, like, oh, snap, snakehead's on. Or when it's hot outside in the summertime, you know, with storm swim shad, I always get my strikes when I want to recast. I start reeling it in faster. Yep. I'm getting ready to pull it out of water. Bam, hits you right there by the shore. And, you know, I think the funny thing with snakeheads, it's so much fun just learning about them and just observing them more than just merely going out there, catching them, taking pictures, put them on social media. I mean, it's just, I probably learned more about snakeheads being around them and handling them than I ever have watching a documentary or TV.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. For me, personally, myself, I think Eddie, you too, and all of us here, I mean, most everything that we learned doing our own, not almost our own thing. We took what we had learned from somewhere else and put it in other places. Like some of the places Eddie fishes, I don't even fish.
Yep.
I mean, I can tell you that picture last year that Charlotte had with that, what was that, 13 or something?
It was 13 at 0.25 pounds, and it was 34 and a half inches long.
I mean, so wow. I don't even fish out where that place is, but they did their homework, you know, and they went and they found it. And I think the other thing, too, is, you know, and I'm not putting bass down because everybody knows bass is what built me as an angler, you know. As far as bass and snakeheads go, I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, that like you just said, there's so much other things that come with the snakehead that the bass doesn't have.
Yes.
Both good and bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I mean, I think that the snakeheads are definitely going to be the thing to do, and I think that you're definitely doing a good job of what you're doing with them. You know what I mean?
It's, you know, my goal is all about learning, and now I'm to a point, okay, if I'm skunking, if I'm not catching a snakehead, there's a reason why. I've always had the guys that tell me, oh, you can't make a fish bite. You know, they have a brain just like you, and that's true and all, but if they're not biting, there's a reason. There's always a reason.
So, not to cut you off, but you just made me hit something in my head again. Patterning. That is the biggest difference that I see between snakeheads and bass, is putting the patterns together, because we can have a pattern here that works for 3 months on snakeheads.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, It never, ever works again. Yep. Ever.
I can attest to that, too. Yep.
And that's why you all have been hearing me talk about so much lately about digging through my old tackle boxes and my old vintage lures, because I'm trying to find an oldie but goodie and bring it the hell back.
You know what I'm saying? Something ain't seen.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Well, I mean, it's funny because, like, you really need a wide variety. Because, I mean, even when you know something's working in a specific spot, like like you said, it can change in a snap. Like in the same day, in one day, it can change three different times sometimes.
You get a lot of people fishing on a creek in one day, and it'll change the whole fishery. It's no different than sika deer hunting.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go in September, the first week of bow season, and they'll come out and walk winding you. They'll walk right out and alongside of you, but they won't do it the next week.
And it's just my opinion. Like for me personally, I can put a pattern together on largemouth bass, you know, before a tournament and hold it up for 3 days. You know what I'm saying? It's harder for me to put a pattern on a snakehead today and go into a tournament this weekend and bank on that pattern, you know, where in bass fishing, I almost would take all my eggs if it was the purple 7-inch zoom U-tail was working. 99 of my 100 casts was that zoom worm, you know what I mean? Because we knew that's the pattern, that's the color, that's what they were responding to. I think with the snakeheads, just because of the light, refraction, everything that goes on here, you know, this green lure that we're using today on a sunny day that's working now for 5 straight days, now that it gets overcast, doesn't work. You got to have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. You've got to change.
You need 6 backup
plans. And I know for a fact that you've learned that, you know?
I actually learned that from Ken Coons. And what I've noticed is never a consistent pattern. I will have a blue steel storm swim shad. I'll get some hits. After a while, they stop biting it. They don't want it no more. So I'm like, okay, I know they didn't disappear. So
you still see them. They're still there. Yep. You know, they're still there. They're still gulping. They're still rolling. Yep. They're still there.
You can see them here at Blackwater.
Right.
But then I'll switch up to a fire orange storm swim shad, and I promise you, I have watched them jump out of water before that thing hits the water.
Yep.
And I was like, I know I'm not crazy saying that. I know other people have seen it. And it's like, as soon as it hits the water, they'll hit it. I mean, it's just,
fastest reaction I ever had on a lure was actually one of Daryl's splatterbaits. And literally, at the time it was hitting the water, the fish took off with the line. I mean, it's like you saw, it's like you threw him a football and he was catching it. I mean, it's like you had to see it coming down towards the water and just grab at it.
That happened October 2019, my current PB snakehead. I was sitting there working a topwater popper silver. I'm sitting there working it, just cast after cast. Well, after a while, I forgot I had some of those snakehead destroyers on the other side. So it's sitting there in the water, and I turn around and I look. And as I'm looking at those bobbers, I felt the jerk and I heard that pop. I turned back around and the popper's gone. There's a massive boil there, and that snakehead gave me a fight, man. And I stopped working a lure, forgot all about it, and I just looked elsewhere.
I'll be honest. Like, I had a guy ask me last week at one of the stores. He says to me, he says, man, if you could only have one thing that you could bank on 100% every time, if you could only take one thing with you. Now I'm going to say two things. Okay, it would be bait.
Yep.
Because we know that even if we can't get them on the lures and we need something to eat, we're eventually going to find something on the destroyer. You know what I mean? So we know that's going to work. The other thing, and I say it all the time, it's the most stupidest lure in the world, is that sucker right there, a 3-inch white twister tail, man. You know, those would be the two things that if they were the only two things that I could have to survive in the wild catching snakeheads, that's probably what I would want, because I can catch a 4-inch, 5-inch, 6-inch, or 30-inch snakehead on that lure right there all day long. So at least I know I'll have something thrown in my belly. You know what I mean?
I'd use bait and splatter bait.
See,
with the bait, you're guaranteed you can get something to eat. And if you want to have some fun and you want to strike, splatter bait.
See, I recently changed my answer. And so you know what I like now is these hyperelastics, man. I
play with that thing. You know what amazes me? I sit here and watch it. Every show, Eddie takes that and he pokes the tail through the body. And he's been doing this probably since the 30s of doing this show. So he's 46 and he has not broke that tail off yet.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't broken it off yet.
Hey, that's a good point. Yeah. That should be a plug for Hyperlastics, that's, man. That's they should a really see good that. Point. 46 shows, and my thing's still stretching.
I do, because I fidget with this.
How's it going, right? Yeah. I played with it 46 times, and my thing's still stretching. Huh? Damn.
Had to get there, didn't you?
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, man.
I didn't even realize what quick. I said until I, like, processed it. So.
Well, folks, we ain't fishing no more.
You ever seen a naked snakehead? No.
But that is true. Like, I do, I fidget with this every episode, yep. And the tail is still intact. I mean, I shoved the spinner through the hook hole and everything, yep. And it's still going strong.
So I did, you know, when Brandon came into the store today, I took him back just to let him see all the eye candy in the boxes, you know. And then I did break out the Hyperlastic, and I was trying to show. So you didn't get to handle one of these. So here, I'm going to toss this over to you, and you can finger it for a little bit or play with it, or never mind.
You can't really pull them apart. Like these, you can pull these and they'll rip apart. Right. But those.
They got these down in the store?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're still in the box right now. But
oh, okay.
Let me say, you can give
honestly, a box my cousin Ricky, he only uses a minnow in that. That's it. That's all he used for the last year.
Because one thing I noticed with the Storm Swim Shad, you know, they're a very cheaply made bait. And downside to using them, they get just so destroyed and ripped up from the teeth. And so I go through a whole bunch of them. But this. It uses this thing. Whew.
That's my favorite.
It's pretty crazy. We didn't think that it was going to take off like that, but Eddie went to the show and he saw them, and you know, we all talked about it. And when we put them in our hands and we really started to play with them, I was like, this is going to be a great snakehead bait. So.
It was funny because I talked to the guys at the show and they were like, and like as soon as I said snakehead, three of them off to the side perked up that worked at the company. They're like, oh yeah, like we use these things for snakeheads. That we're all about it. So it was like, and this was like perfect for it. So
yeah, they're tough. It's yeah, like you know, with a minnow, you catch a snakehead and you get it back. If you get your minnow back,
yeah,
a poor old minnow, his lips ripped, and one eye stretched out, and he's looking like, "Come on, man, come on, stay back, give me
throw in the towel, man."
Yeah. I've done my time.
So let me ask you this: So let's talk about what you like to throw for snakehead. So let's talk about some of the lures that Brandon would use on a snakehead trip. So you're coming down the Blackwater. You got somebody new you've talked to. They're going to go and they say, "Hey, Brandon, I've been watching your YouTube, man. Good Lord, man, you're killing these things. Can you help a brother out?"
Yeah.
So what lures are you going to tell him to grab up, you know, before he makes a trip down here?
So, and it's funny you say that because I actually had that happen. My co-driver at work, normally what we would do, we'd get back Monday morning, we get off the truck, we head straight to Blackwater, get down there, get set up. Well, you know, after fishing with King Coons, I love the Storm Swim Shad, and anytime I go snakehead fishing, I never leave home without it. So I have my tackle box of Storm Swim Shad. I taught my buddy how to use it. Here, you just cast it out. All you got to do is reel it in. It's a warmer day, so don't be afraid if you reel it in too fast. Wasn't even 5 minutes. He caught his first snakehead on a snakehead destroyer, caught his second snakehead on a blue steel Storm Swim Shad. And if there's a lot of brush, there's a lot of cover, I love the topwater frog. And what I'll do, Brent had taught me, you know, to minimize short strikes, cut down the tassels, take a set of pliers, and just kind of bend the hooks out just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, this year, what I'm going to do, I had ordered a bunch of frogs. I got a lot of frogs, and I got some micro frogs that are just looked exactly like the regular ones, but they're smaller. So if I have that short strike situation, I'm going to have an ultralight ready to go. Throw that top frog, just like it.
So this is why you all have heard me talk about this.
You've been talking about that frog for five years.
How many snakeheads have you caught on that one frog?
I have no idea, dude. Well, this one here, he's held up through none because I haven't used him yet. This is a pocket frog. Now, I'm going to be honest, you know, they don't hold up. You know, you might get maybe five. I don't know. I mean, they'll hold up if you do like I do, put some super glue on them and keep them going. You know what I mean? But you're going to get four or five fish with no problem. Yep. Then you might start to get a little sinky. And if you do, then like I said, either
you lose a leg.
Just melt some plastic. Yeah. Or you could take a plastic bag, right? Roll it into like a little roll and get it hot. Mm-hmm. Stick it on here because I've done it out there, dude. Believe it or not, lost a leg, couldn't get a bite. So I took a Walmart bag, literally. I swear to God, you could ask. Who was with me? Oh, Bob was with me at that. I took the bag, I ripped it off like this, I rolled it up like this. I swear to God, I took a lighter. I got it hot. I stuck it back on the frog like this, man. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, it hung on there for the next 2 hours, and I caught four more fish. And my buddy Bob,
Sam Walton's rolling over in his grave.
My buddy Bob looked at me and he goes, "I know a lot of rednecks, man." He goes, and I met a lot of MacGyvers in my life. He says, "But dude, I ain't never seen no shit like that in my life." I said, "Hey, man, I said this thing's holding up so good. I might go home tonight and roll me some up and paint them different colors and see if I can make maybe 25 cents a piece. If I can make 100 of them off of a bag at 25 cents a piece, that's $25 off every Walmart bag that I get." You know what I'm saying? My buddy's like, "Dude, you're just get away from me, man."
Yeah, see on the crab stand and frog legs.
Joe Dobbins, there were no crabs in the truck last night because all the crabs here are buried in the mud. But I'm gonna try to have some crabs here for you the next week or two. You sit tight. We got lobsters coming too, there, brother.
Don't listen to him, Joey.
I might have spilt them on 50 in front of you. You should have picked them up.
John could have got his 5 pounds just holding the net out the back.
Like I said to Gary, I'll just tell the story. So I'm coming off the bypass and I'm like passing this truck. It's got these two bikes on the back and I'm like, "I was like some guys I know to come down East Dunshore," and I'm just going about my merry way down the road, man. And I get off at the bypass, and I guess I slowed down there, so they got ahead of me. And then next thing you know, I come off the bypass. I'm driving like, "Well, that's them guys I passed way up there at the Graysonville. How'd they get in front of me? I don't know." And I just kept getting it. You know what I mean? But so these little pocket frogs, like, This is what I use in the ditches. This is all that I primarily use in the ditch. That's it here. I have a little box sitting here on the ground.
We need to get one of our cameras just pointed at your tackle box.
So this is just one compartment of those pocket frogs.
Oh, yeah, yep.
So, I mean, that's how much I love these things. So you like the frog. What else? What else you like to use?
Honestly, you know, I'm not – I got – I've heard the MEP spinners. I've seen and heard a lot of guys catch them. I can never get them to work for me. I struggle with the MEP spinners. I'm still trying to figure them out. I don't know. Ken Coons had told me that, "Man, you trying to catch some snakeheads or some muskie?" I said, "Well, I was trying to catch some snakeheads." He said, "Yeah, number 5 is a little too big." You know what I'm saying?
Kaz has a secret for you for the MEPs, real quick.
So my thing is. I like the number 5s. Mm-hmm. I like bigger than that. Yeah. I like the ones that got the double trebles on them too. Pike size ones.
Okay.
So what we'll do with these here, if you're struggling, and Mike Stewart can tell you a little story about this. So my cousin Ricky, years ago, when we would go white perch fishing, we would use, they were called Joe's Flies, and the other ones were, they weren't MEPs, it was something else. Rooster tails, okay. They were called. So we would use rooster tails for white perch fishing in Blackwater. And when they would stop biting the rooster tail, what Ricky would do is he would reach over in the bucket and he'd grab a crappy shiner and just put it on one treble.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Start casting. Next thing you know, it's every cast. Mm. I can't keep up with him.
Wow.
So I remembered that. Mm. And then when I got into snakehead fishing, one day I was smacking the shit out of them on 5s. You could do no wrong. I got 100 in the cooler. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, it just... How do I go from 100 fish in 2.5 hours to I can't even buy a bite? I can't even snag anything, you know? So I thought, man, I wonder if I put one of these snakehead destroyers on a MEPS, if it would do the same thing it does for white perch. And this was like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Man, the first cast boom, there it was. Second cast, there it was. And then we were talking earlier about this with corn flour and stuff. You know, when we're snakehead fishing and we're using destroyers and we're using live bait and they start slowing up on 1 minute, we go to the double minnow.
I can't tell you how many times you merely just putting that second minnow on a hook just changes the whole entire trip. Oh my gosh.
The most wonderful
double quarter pounder, man.
The most wonderful thing about this is it's got 3 hooks on it. So you get 3 bases, 3 minnows on that son of a gun.
That's the man killer.
That will, I'm serious, that will make or break your day, dude, sometimes. Wow. Serious. Okay. And Mike Stewart can tell you the story. Last year, he called me, he was over 335.
Sent you two videos.
He was over at the shed fishing up on the little bridge, and he said, man, I ain't catching nothing here. What should I do? I said, I go down 335. The water's deeper there. You got the mud flats on both sides. Sun's been out for 2 days. You get up against that wall and get up on that mud flat on that edge, you ought to be able to pick them off with the MEPS. Mm-hmm. So he called and said, man, I'm throwing this MEPS, man. I've thrown two times, man. I ain't got nothing. I don't know what to do. Or he'd been fishing there for a couple minutes or whatever. And he said, I don't know what to do. I don't think they're here. I said, no, dude, they're there. I said, take that MEPS and put a minnow on it and make a cast and slow down your retrieve. And it wasn't. I think it was the first cast. So I just hung up with him. 3 seconds later, here comes the video to my phone. He's like, Cass. And then picks his snake head up with the MEPS in its mouth. He's like, dude. Dude, second cast, man, with the minnow, dude. You are the sensei. He starts saying, I'm going to whatever. So then he let that go. And then like 2 minutes later, the one that came that we couldn't really put on Facebook. Right. You know, I get this message. Mike's sitting there and he's, Cass, God, oh my God. Oh my God, man. I almost lost this fish, man. Oh my God, dude. Dude, I just broke the record. I don't know that I've ever seen one this big before, man. Dude, the MEPS and minnow, I'm going to kiss you on your lips when I see you. That's what he said, right? So then he's talking and the net's laying by the guardrail, you know, above the rocks. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you see him in the video go, oh shit, and reach down and grabs it because the thing starts flipping around. And when you never saw the fish, but when he put the camera at the net and saw the girth on the thing, you were like, oh. And I think he brought it here to the store, didn't he? Yeah, to you to weigh it, because he didn't know. He was like, I don't know if I ever had one this big. I don't know what to do. So we brought it here and weighed it. And that has been a big key. And I've learned that not just with the MEPS, but even with my little tiny chatterbaits, even with a swim bait sometimes, man, you know, the killifish. You know, the killifish are real long and they're skinny. So a lot of times, you know, I'll keep some of them to use, you know, and just lip hook them and just nothing and just drag them on a hook, you know, like a swim bait, you know what I mean? So,
wow.
So we know you like that. What other lures? Come on, man. What else you got?
What else? I mean, I'm still kind of getting into the lure game because
probably have you been doing anything as far as like I don't know, like swim baits, Kytex, stuff like that? You ever tried any of those?
I have a chatterbait I've used. I've had a hit on it. I really started getting used to that and getting strikes on that when I fished with Damian Cook of Lowland Outfitters.
Yep.
You know, we went over to New Bridge, and I was out on a charter with him. And it was pretty cool because while I'm trying to catch a snakehead with him, I was getting used to just starting to use new lures. But I'm still guilty of being in the comfort zone when it comes to lure. I'm mainly topwater frogs.
You know
frogs.
What? I'm not being rude, but I was getting ready to ask you, are you comfortable? That was going to be my next question.
That's
I was saying, look, man, we've got about this many lures here. Are you just comfortable? Or
yeah. Know? Now, I think it's the Stanley frog. It's it is
the ribbit?
Yeah, yeah.
That's Damien's swear. Is that the one?
Thing.
No, Dame, or I think
Damien Cook.
Oh, no, I'm not sure. I think
it was a ribbit. He's a ribbit freak.
He's that frog. He has a weighted hook, and he puts the frog on there.
Okay, subsurface. I know what you're
saying. Oh, my gosh. That thing was amazing. The lure got hung up on a limb, and I knew from experience, you know, let it stay there, let the legs of that frog just kind of dangle and hit the water, and sure enough, his snake had tried to come up and grab it, and what happened, he did grab it. He bit the left leg off of the lure. And so I'm reeling it back. He's like, oh, let me see that lure. I said, what's wrong? Oh, snap, there's a leg missing on it. You see this? Yeah, that's what I told you. Let me see the lure. Okay, cool. So I'm still trying to get my knowledge up because I'm still kind of fairly new to lures, you know. But, yeah, I do got my comfort zone when it comes to lures.
And I can relate a lot to you as growing up on the Susquehanna. I was a guy that grew up on the catwalk, catfishing on the bottom, you know. So I was just as guilty as you. You know, a long time ago too, you know, and I think as we get more comfortable, we actually get more hungry.
Yeah.
You know, because,
because
we know this is working, but we start to ask ourselves this question, man, I'm catching all these fish, man. Why ain't I busting 5, 6, 7 pound bass? What's right. going on here?
Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, okay, let me, I know that this is my favorite. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and spend $6 today on this and just go try this today and see if it works.
Well, I think that's a nice thing about snakeheads is, like we were talking earlier, that doesn't always work, that works for 2 months, right. 3 months, it's going to force you out of your comfort zone if you're fishing it does. For snakeheads. It does. It really does.
That's why this last year, this last year is the first time that I have used menace. I never used menace for it.
That's what we talked
never
about.
Never had
before,
a need to it. And I didn't really have a need this year, but just wanted to try it. And it worked for sure.
It's
but
funny.
I like to strike.
It's funny you say that because as I was getting more into lures, I was depending on minnows less and less. Because what I used to do when I started getting used to lures, I would still purchase minnows anyways just to be safe. And so after a while, I just got so used to using. Yeah,
me too.
So, yeah, I got so used to using lures. Well, now when it started getting colder, I was like, okay, now I got to bust out the snakehead rods. I got the bobbers and stuff on them. And it was so weird trying to get used to watching that bobber while I'm just so used to just the action of working a lure. So, I mean, it trying to be versatile, it could be rough sometimes because it's real easy as an angler to get stuck in a comfort zone.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I still battle with that as an angler.
You get a lot more tail dancing, whatever you want to call it, than when they come up on their tail and shoot across the water with lures than you do with menace.
Here's a little story. So, like, I fished, you know, those that know me know I fished the Bass Federation. I did all that for years, you know, years ago. And we had a little rig that got the nickname on Conowingo Lake called the Kaz Rig, okay? And what it was, and this was me in my comfort zone. I would never, this was, I could not get away from this bait. Mm-hmm. And there were so many times that I came this close because I refused to try another bait. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So this rig, what it was a 7-inch Zoom U-tail worm is what it was. And it was Junebug was the color. And then you hung up all the time up there in Conowingo Lake on them boulders, right? Mm-hmm. So I always tried to figure out a way how to stop losing my plastics down there. You know what I mean? I got tired of sending the lure retriever down and doing all that bull crap. Finally, I got to the point where, like, Christ, there's only $1.50 of shit there. I'm not doing all this and just tie a new one on. You know, now you get older and money means something. You don't do that anymore,
yeah,
you know?
Yep.
So anyway, the way this rig came about was I realized that I always used a slide weight, you know, but I realized that if I put a split shot ahead of this worm, this split shot might get caught in the rock, but because this worm was laying back here, when I slingshotted it, it was enough to pop that. But when it popped, it would pull the worm up. So it lifts the whole lure out of the rocks when you do that. You know what I mean? I gotta go chase it. So I figured that bait out. I wouldn't tell anybody for a couple of years. I mean, some of the guys up down the lake will tell people that, you know, they would go over and look on the deck of my boat and you couldn't see nothing, you know, or if they looked at my rods, there was nothing tied on them, you know, or if I had a guy that was fishing with me, you know, I wouldn't use it. You know what I mean? I was that committed to that bait and that comfortable is what I'm saying. And I'll tell you what happened was I had a guy that, you know, competitive, friendly, it wasn't like that. You know, I had a friend of me and him, we've been talking shit all year, man. And he always said to me, if you just get out of your comfort zone, dude, you'd run laps around me, brother. I'm telling you right now, you're that good. And I decided to try, I forget what it was, a Bomber Modaway, I think it was, Fire Tiger color, just to change things up. And I won that tournament on that fucking Fire Tiger. Lord, sorry, I didn't mean to say that, but you know what I mean? So that was the difference. And that was the day that I learned, don't be afraid, try something different.
Yeah.
You know,
we know you're not afraid. We've heard the marshmallow story.
Gummy worms. Hey, you know what? I've been sitting here thinking I might be able to melt Walmart bags into plastic worms and make money. I don't
know. I mean, you know, when they're hitting, they'll hit anything. I've caught bluefish on beer tabs. I mean, literally, we had a pair of red socks and beer tabs. That's all we had left. They ate all. We had surgical hose. They ate all those. And putting beer tabs on with a stripped up red sock. Lighten them up, man.
I tell you how cheap my dad was years ago. Okay, man, he wouldn't even buy a fish scaler. He'd save his beer caps and then nail his beer caps to a piece of wood, and then he'd take his beer caps and scale the fish with his beer caps. I don't know why I thought of that.
Skins them these days. Don't do that anymore.
Brandon, I got Kevin here. He's asking, what's your biggest catfish you've caught?
Biggest catfish I caught, that was March 2019, there was a warm front pushing a very big snowstorm. Was out with my boy Jason and Dan that hook set. We had made a plan to go fishing that morning. Didn't think we were going to get this fish. So Jason, he's just sitting there slaying catfish. Like, dang on, Jason, you're killing it, man. So Jason is still catching fish. Dan has a net, getting ready to net the fish for him. Out of the corner of my eye, I see a pole. The pole starts moving. It's like, oh, snap. So I go grab the pole, set the hook. That fish pulled me right back down. So I'm sitting here fighting this fish, and we're sitting here having a good time. So I'm thinking I'm being lazy, right? So after a while, I start paying attention. I said, Dan, this thing ain't moving, man. It's not moving at all. So I'm starting to kind of slow up because I don't want to break off. Well, Dan saw it before I saw it, and he just screamed. He's like, whoa, that's a big fish. That's a big fish. So he nets the fish. He's a smaller guy. He can't pull the fish out. So Jason hops down, helps him out, get the fish on land, put the scale to it. It was a 56-pound blue catfish.
Wow. Nice
56-pound blue catfish.
Very cool.
I said, wow. And even though, like, the video is on YouTube, but what you didn't see, after pick the fish up, there's all these joggers in D.C. Everyone starts jogging. Everyone's just lining up to take a picture. Can we take a picture? Can we take a picture? Can we take a picture? It's like, oh, my goodness. So now I'm getting tired holding this thing. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I finally put it down, and now I'm not thinking about the weight of it. I put it on my foot and about hurt my foot a little bit. Like, oh, snap. So we released her, and she swam off, man, 56.8 pounds, I believe it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it's...
big fish.
That's the thing with catfish. When you have a fish take off, when you set that hook, you don't know if it's going to be 5 pounds,
right?
25 pounds, 55 pounds. You know, you don't know, you know. But yeah, 56.8 pounds. That was my biggest catfish.
That's fantastic.
That's a pretty big catfish.
Yeah.
So I know we're getting up here on time, and we're getting, you know, is there any stories or any special things that stick out in your brain that you want to share with everybody out here? You know, any special trip, any words of encouragement? Let's see. Let me ask you this. Here's a good one. So Eddie, I haven't told you guys this. So I've been thinking about, you know, I watch James Corbett or whatever the guy is late at night. You know, and he always has that guy at the end that gets to ask the guests a question on his own, right? So I've been thinking every time we get a guest, I'm going to think of a magic question, just something stupid off the wall to ask him like this guy does. So my question today for Brandon was, Brandon, you're walking into the room. What's your theme song?
Oh,
I think it's going to be good. Like, this is going to be good, dude.
I like that.
Jimi Hendrix, The Voodoo Child.
Very cool.
And I like that song. And what happened, I found out the bad side of YouTube. There's this thing called copyright laws. And my third video, I was like, you know what? We caught a 25-pound blue catfish that day. It was a good day because it started slow. You know what? I'm going to put that as my ending song. And cool. So I download the video with Jimi Hendrix, Voodoo Child. I go to sleep. Wake up to all these messages saying, hey, your videos, what's wrong with your video? Hey, I think it's because of that song. I say, huh? So I go into my TV, I turn on YouTube, and I click the video, and there's a black screen in his word that says, this video cannot be viewed in your country because of copyright laws. I was like, oh.
So then what do you have to do? Go back and re-edit it all again? Is that what you do or what?
Thankfully, what I did, I would save all my videos, and it was still in the editing software. So I took that song out. And I had another rock song that I put in there at the end. It was fine after that.
Okay, so being that we're talking about YouTube, a lot of guys ask me questions, and I don't do YouTube, so I don't know what to tell them. You know what I mean? So the whole editing thing, all this stuff that you do, the hours and hours that go into it, are you getting paid?
Yes. I monetized last March. Now, I will admit, it is not much starting out, but we've started doing a lot of live streams now. You get paid out. You get paid, I think it's like maybe $5 or $6 per hour that you're live. When you're monetized, when someone clicks on that video and an ad plays, you get paid, I think, 6 cents for that ad. And then they have this thing called super chats and super stickers where if you get that fan that's generous, you know, they'll donate, and then they'll put a little message on there so that you can see it. And there's a guy by the name of Reese. His wife is going through chemotherapy right now. And so our last live stream last week, I decided to use all super chats. We're going to go be donated to him. So we raised about $332 from there. And it, again, it all went to him. I ain't keeping up for myself.
That's fantastic.
You know, because, you know, when you have this platform, the biggest thing, don't let it get to your head.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And with this platform that we're blessed to have, it's important to give back to others. So, you know.
You just said everything I've said.
Got the right attitude, man.
since day one. You know what I mean? Helping others pass it on.
It's all about, man. You know, I've seen too many guys, they start getting good at catching fish, and it goes to their head. They think they can just be buttholes to people. I'm like, you know what, man? No, screw that, man. I ain't about all that, man. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I said what I said earlier in this show. You know, if somebody asked me to point them in the direction to somebody that I would say is somebody that you could watch without your kids being, you know, anything like that. I've watched from where you started and where you are now. I've watched the change that has taken place in your production. And, you know, even for me as a person, you know, growing up my whole life, I knew right from wrong, you know. Sometimes I did the wrong things. Most times I did the right thing, you know. But the bottom line is this. I think your success has come not just because of what you're doing, but also from your humility. You know, I don't see you out here on the corner. I don't see you bragging in a thread. I don't see you saying, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't see you cussing at that kid or telling him he's a liar when he's holding up a 2-pound bass and thinks it's a 5-pound fish. You know, that really burns me up when I see stuff. So this is the thing. Just real talk, I love your YouTube. I love the way you do it. And anybody out there that's watching today that has not had a chance to see the Baltimore Angler, go over there.
Definitely check it out.
Check him out. You know what I mean? And I was so excited to finally get you here. I know we've been talking for months.
We've been. You know? Oh, man. It's been wild.
I know this whole COVID thing has just been, it's been between Eddie getting sick, the COVID, the baby, everything. This has been a rough year for us, and we've weathered it the best that we can. And we do want to say, you know, everybody's out here chatting about tournaments and everything like that. We're going to have our tournaments this year. Yeah. You know, we're going to do that. We're going to have a trail again. We'll have several tournaments. We have all the corporate sponsors that have come back. Plus, we're going to have a ton of corporate sponsors from the fishing industry that I've been working with, you know? So it's going to be not so much a how good are you? It's going to be more of let's all go out, have a good time. We're going to win some money. We're going to raise some money to give back to a charity too. That's what we're going to do with some of the money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got that to look forward to. We've got the Snakehead Club that we're going to be starting here, whether we're going to do it virtually or whether we're going to do it here in the store or how we're going to do it. But it's going to be a once or twice a month meeting where you can either come here or we may do a meeting here. And then if somebody wants to do one on the west side, we'll do two. We'll go back and forth. You know what I mean? Do a meeting down here the second Tuesday and do a meeting up there on the third Tuesday or something like that. We're going to put together, you know, some tournaments. We're going to put together some pop-up stuff like we've been talking about. So, you know, we're going to really, really work on a bunch of that. The first cast, you know, we've got first cast coming out with Marsha and all them guys there at Blackwood.
That's right around the corner.
Refuge. You know, we're going to get started on that. I'd really love to see you get your hands involved with us there, the Baltimore Angler. You know, I'd love to see you as a mentor out here teaching some kid here in the marsh with us, you know. For those that don't know about the First Cast program, what it is, the program that's going to be implemented here locally by U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, USDA. It's everybody combining one force to try to do what we've been saying the whole time, which is educate the public, raise awareness, and build a better angler. And this whole mentorship program is the way to do it. You know, I didn't get sober 200 days at a time. I got sober one day at a time. We're going to help anglers and educate anglers one at a time. If that's how we have to do it, that's how we're going to do it. And just to know that Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge, the Friends of Blackwater, and everybody here are concerned and are willing to step up to the plate and say, hey, we see it. We're going to help. Let's do something. So, you know, that's where we're going.
It also gives a way for them to give back to the public.
Absolutely.
You know, like Blackwater, they allow deer hunting, some permitted duck hunting. But as far as fishing, this thing with the snakeheads has just exploded, and they've got a lot of territory to fish on.
I think, for me, one thing I wish I would see a little more of, you know, when you hear about snakeheads being caught, especially in new waterways, you know, the mass hysteria that always follows, and you know, it's almost like a sense of fear. Even when I first heard that snakeheads were in Maryland, that sense of fear hit me. But one is about educating people. Two, honestly, I think these states, state of Maryland, Georgia, all these states, Florida, instead of putting these laws against them, why don't you take advantage of it and put things in place to get people to go out and catch them? If you really want to control their numbers, get people involved with
it.
Make that, take advantage, make the money on it instead of creating a fear.
But honestly, like the whole money thing here, like we're not worried about that. This whole first cast is all, there's no money involved in that. Okay. There's no profit involved in that. This is all donation money that's driving this. That's how we're doing it. It's all federal funding money and things like that. So this isn't something that we're trying to get rich off of. This is something that we want to do to bring this whole community together. There's a lot of division in the community. We all know that, you know, and those that know me as a person know me as a person. Brandon got a chance to know me as a person today. And I do want to talk. make sure you got a doctor on the
one
side.
One day at a time.
Asshole. I told you, man, every goddamn show you get me, man.
You're easy.
But no, but I mean, this is an opportunity. So I would like to see you get involved. And if you've got some guys up there that you think might be able to help us with these kids. And this whole mentorship program, it isn't like for kids. It's for everybody. So you may be mentoring a 65-year-old man that's never fished before. This is a way for us to introduce people to the outdoors that may have never been exposed. You know, I think that not only will this give us the opportunity here with this mentorship program, but I think it's going to open a door up to take it another step.
I'll tell you what I think,
which
would
be to
see.
Have a bigger program. You know?
Absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
With this first cast, we're thinking we're going to have a lot of kids. I think you're going to be surprised.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
I agree.
I do too.
You're going to see the little old ladies come out and people that have just never fished for in their 30s and 40s.
Yep, exactly.
And older come out. So
I went to school with a friend, Charlie Hayes. I got to tell you this story. So his son, Austin. I love this kid, man. He's been through so many trials and tribulations, you know, growing up, you know, surgeries, things like that. And his grandmom, I don't know how old she is. I'm not trying to say like she's 100 years old. But the coolest thing that blew me away one day was this kid messaged me and he says, "Hey, I want to go fishing, but I don't drive. My grandmom's going to take me. Where can I catch some snakeheads?" So I told him. You know, the first picture he sends me is a picture of him and his grandmom catching her first snakehead. Now, see, now that's the kind of stuff
that's cool
that we want to see, man. Yep. That's the kind of stuff we want to do, you know?
There's nothing like when someone asks you for help and you point them in the right direction, you show them what to do, then they send you a picture of the result, and they say, "Hey, thank you because you taught me that. Or you, because of your advice, this is what happened." It's like, oh.
So I know we got to get going here, Eddie. I know that. So, but I took Brandon fishing today, and you all can stay tuned because he's going to have a nice video coming out with some of the biggest bluegill you've ever seen in your life.
Biggest?
And no, you can't fish my pond.
And that's the thing. Gary said that, you know, we will have 24-hour security going on over there. And when you look up in them little holes and see them on the side of the building, those are not bird holes. Those are turrets for the guns. So, you know. So I don't know. Brandon, thanks so much for coming today. If you want to leave anybody with anything, this is the opportunity. Is there anything that you want to say out there? Anybody that you want to thank for helping you on this journey? Anybody that you want to, you know what I mean?
Biggest advice I have, you know, someone always told me, don't take a lot of information from one person, but just learn a little bit of information from a lot of people.
I love that.
You know, it doesn't matter how good in life you get at anything. You're never too old to stop learning. All right. So that's that's my philosophy I live by with fishing. Stuff. You know, never always be willing to learn, take advice from someone. You know, you don't know it all. I don't care how old you are, how much experience you have. You don't know it all, and you're still going to learn a thing here or there. And again, don't learn a lot from one person. Yep. Learn a little from a lot of people.
It's what you just said earlier, humility and staying humble. You know, I don't know how many people say off-the-wall things to me, and I look at them like, dude, I put my pants on the same way you did this morning. I tied my shoes the same way. You know, you're no different than me. You know, I just get lucky sometimes.
Look at Jeremy Wade. Guys fished all over the world. First thing he does when he goes somewhere – talks to the locals.
Yep.
Breaks bread, sits down. Yep. Love it. What do you think, Eddie? Got anything?
I do have the MEPS Angler Spotlight of the Week this week. It is Leroy Heisen.
I love that guy.
Leroy with a throwback from last year.
So I was telling Brandon earlier, he's got to go check out Leroy. Leroy, I love all the videos that you do. And just the simple fact that you love kids and do the things you do, man, just makes you one hell of a man, man. Thank you very much. That it?
I think that's all I got. Yep.
You got anything else, Gary?
I'm done.
Dude, you want to give away some shrimp?
That's on you, buddy.
You know how to sing?
Brandon. Oh, I don't want to chase the viewers away too fast.
I said, look, so Brandon, if you know the song, you can join at any time. At the end, if you want to yell absolutely mustard pack, you can yell with me.
Do your giveaways for your song.
So, okay, so this week, you know, we've been hauling Atlantic shrimp. This is going to be the last weekend for it from our trawler where we're getting this now. I'm going to go another couple miles to the south and see if I can find some stuff to keep us going until the crabs pick up. I did find a crab connection, so I'm going to go down next week and sit down with this man and talk, and we may have some crabs up in here in the next couple of weeks and start rolling with something until the Maryland season gets going. So I just want to thank everybody the last 2 weeks that has helped us with this whole shrimp run, you know, because we didn't know what we were doing. We've learned as we've gone. The first time we made the delivery, we learned some hard lessons. You know, there was too much ice in the shrimp. Some people got home and, you know, this is just real talk. Some people got home and had 8 pounds of shrimp instead of 10 because they had 2 pounds of ice mixed in with it. You know what I mean? So we've learned a lot here in the last 2 weeks. Those of you that have bear with us, let me make right any mistakes that we have made. I appreciate it. And that's what we do. So with no further ado, my crabs there. Oh. We didn't even say the winners.
I was just about to say, you forgot the winner. I was literally just about to get on you.
Eddie just picked his hand up like this, like he was going to slap me, man. So anyway, so this week, you know, I told you guys I'd give two people some free shrimp. So Kenneth Golden and Brian Cousins.
Kapow!
Two people, like I said. I'm going to give each of you 2 free pounds of shrimp. So you find me tomorrow on our travels. We'll get you straight, or we'll see you maybe Sunday when we come back up again. But both of you shoot me a PM. We'll make sure that we get you your shrimp.
Now so, you can sing.
Without any. Oh, wait a minute. If anybody would like a Wolford Store koozie. Look. I don't drink beer, but if I drank beer, I'd have me a Wolford Store koozie, folks, because that'll keep your drink cold 365 days a year.
You drink soda, though.
If it's sodas.
Huh?
Yeah. Sodas fit in there, too.
So do energy drinks. So, anyway, so if you would like to have this koozie, all you got to write in the comments is, I love Wolford Store, and you can have that koozie. Okay, so that's pretty simple there. We gave away something. 2 pounds of shrimp. Kenneth Golden and Brian Cousins. My crabs, they have 3 first names. It's heavy, full, and fat. My crabs, they have a 4th name. Absolutely mustard packed! So, if you ask me where they're from, Eddie's over bobbing his head. He wants to sing so freaking bad.
Absolutely not.
You almost said absolutely mustard pack. So, if you ask me where they're from, they're 100% guaranteed Maryland number ones, man. Real number ones. At the crab stand, here's a fact I know for sure you're coming back. Kapow! Kapow! And kapow!